Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 13 lines from the top of Daf Yud Beis. Before we begin our shiur, we glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading written in the margin. We've written B'Gemara Muva Braisa. In the Gemara, a Tanaic source will be brought, a brief Tanaic source, She Mosifa Al HaMishneh Oid halachas, that will add to the Mishnah's list, add halachas shelohem alif tishrei nechshav Rosh Hashanah, regarding which the first of Tishrei is considered the beginning of their year, their counting. So our Mishnah had mentioned Uli Yerukis regarding vegetables, that the first of Tishrei is considered a new year with regard to vegetables. In other words, in order to determine how one is to go about his tithing, he is not allowed, for example, to tithe those vegetables that were harvested from the previous year to exempt those vegetables harvested the next year. And that cutoff point is Tishrei, so that whatever was harvested before Rosh Hashanah has to be tithed in and of itself and cannot be used to exempt vegetables that were tithed and that were harvested and need tithing that were harvested after Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara continues, Tana liyorokos ulamaisus ulinadorim. Aleph Tishrei has significance for vegetables, for maisros, which means tithing, and for vows. The issue of vows will be dealt with by the Gemara on Omid Beis. Not, in other words, we won't see a discussion concerning vows until the second half of Omid Beis. We have an arrow that helps you show where that will take place. But in the meantime, the Gemara looks at the beginning of this source, the Rokos Mainin, who, when you say that Aleph Tishrei is a Rosh Hashanah regarding Yerukos, what do you mean? Meiser Yerek. You mean regarding the cutoff point, and there's a pun, it's a nice pun there when you say cutoff point, because vegetables are tithed at the point that they are cut off, that they are harvested. And that is established as the first of Tishrei, and that date has significance for the tithing of the vegetables. Well, if the term Yerukos in the source means the tithing of vegetables, Hainu Maisrus. Then there's redundancy. That's what the word Maisrus means. Tithing of Maisrus. Maiser tithe. Why then is the same idea repeated twice in one source? The Gemara answers, Tana de Rabbonon v'kotoni de Oraisa. The Tana teaches two types of tithes. One, a rabbinic tithe, a rabbinic obligation, and the other a Doraisa Torah level obligation. Now the Torah level obligation, when the Torah speaks about the necessity of tithing, so according to most authorities, that's a reference to Dagon, Tirosh, and Yitzhar. Dagon, grains, Tirosh, wine, Yitzhar, olive oil. Only those need to be tithed from a Torah perspective. Rabbinically, other things need to be tithed as well, including vegetables. The Gemara asks, "Velisni doraisa bereisha." Why in this source does it not mention the word maisus, which refers to the Torah level obligation things? That Aleph Tishrei is their cutoff point. Why not mention Dagon, Tirosh, and Yitzhar first? Using the word Maisrus. Why in the order of things mentioned in this brief source do you see Yerukos preceding Maisrus? The Gemara answers, Aidi de chaviva lei akdama. Chaviva means something that is treasure, something that is beloved. There's a concept that runs throughout Shas, and it's actually based on a pasuk, and I believe it's in the Mishnah and Maseches Avodah Zarah, even reflects that ki doivim dodecha miyayin, and we learn from that rabbinic teachings, things that were invented or darshened by the Rabbanon, have more fondness in the eyes of the Almighty than his own Doraisa teachings. So since it's something that is beloved, it is mentioned first. The Tana Didon, our Tana, who mentions just Yerokais, Tana de Rabbanan, well, he teaches that rabbinic tithes, the Aleph Tishrei is there, date constituting their new year, the Kol Shekein Doraisin, all the more so for things that are required to be tithed on a Torah level. So that it wasn't, the Mishnah was terse, it didn't feel it necessary to spell out. That's, of course, common practice for Mishnayos relative to Brises. Mishnayos are more terse than the Brises. The Gemara asks, Velisni Meiser, in the Brisa, why not use the word Meiser in the singular? Why does the source teach it in the plural? Answer, Echad Meiser Behemov, Echad Meiser Dagon. The word Meisros in the plural, it reflects that there are two Meisros whose date is Aleph Tishrei. One is Meiser Behemov, the tithing of animals, animal births. The Aleph Tishrei is the cutoff point that animals born before Tishrei are tithed amongst themselves, and the animals born after Tishrei amongst themselves. And the other Meiser being Meiser Dagon, the grain tithing. Well, along the same lines with regard to grammar, Felisni Yerek. Why not teach Yerek in the singular? What do you gain by teaching it in the plural? Answer, Tre Gavni Yerek. There are two categories, two ways or categories concerning vegetables. At what point in the vegetables, let's say, processing, is it necessary, is one expected or commanded to tithe? So there's a general concept known as Gemar Molocha with regard to tithing, the point at which it's gone through its necessary stages that it's now ready to be used and hence to be tithed. So with regard to vegetables, there are two categories, Disnan, Yerek, Hane'egad, Mishiegad. There are types of vegetables that are bound together, that are tied together in bunches. You might say that that's the case with carrots, possibly garlic, other kinds of vegetables that the common practice is to tie them together in bunches. So at the point at which those kind of vegetables are bunched together, are tied together in bunches, at that point there is an obligation to tie them, and you cannot eat from them. Even an achilas aroi, even a temporary type of snacking type eating, until you tithe them. V'she'eino ne'egad, other kinds of vegetables that are not bunched together. Mishiemale esakli, when the box, the carton, the crate gets filled up, at the point that the vessel that will store them, that contains them, gets filled up, at that point you can no longer eat from them until you tithe. Before continuing the Gemara, we glance at the side, we have a topic heading, the Nosei. Ein tormin u'maisrin mishona zu al shona zu. This is a concept we've mentioned already today, and that is that we don't tithe the trumas and maestras tithes of one year to exempt produce of a subsequent year, and vice versa. Likate Tana Rabbanan, Likate Yerek Erev Rosh Hashanah, Ad Shaloi Tovo Hashemesh. A person harvested vegetables Rosh Hashanah Eve, meaning the day right before Rosh Hashanah, the last day of Elul, prior to sunset. Ad shelo tova shemesh means prior to sunset. V'chozar v'liket misha tovo hashemesh. Tosfos adds quite importantly that it would have to be a Gentile did the harvesting afterwards, because after the sun sets, that ushers in a holiday, and a holiday is forbidden for one. It's forbidden for one to harvest during a holiday. So he adds that it was harvested by a non-Jew. Ein tormen asrin mizeh alzeh. One cannot tithe from those cut harvested before Rosh Hashanah to exempt those that were cut after Rosh Hashanah, and vice versa. One is not to remove the or separate the truma and meiser tithes from the new on the old, nor on the old to exempt the new. Im hoisa shnio nichneses lishlishis, if this transition point marked by Rosh Hashanah is a transition from the second year into the third year of the 7-year sabbatical cycle, shnia, and the second year produce requires meiser rishon and meiser sheni. Those are the two prominent meiser tithes that are separated. And shlishis, the third year, equals meiser rishon and meiser oni. Just to review something that many of you already know, years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the 7-year cycle are what are called Meiser Sheni years. Meiser Rishon is a tenth of one's produce that's given to a Levi, and that is given every single year of the cycle. Each one of the 6 years, the sabbatical year obviously, is a year when everything is unowned, is Hefker, there's no tithe necessity then. But years 1 through 6, each one of them, there's a Meiser Rishon tithe. Years 1, 2, 4, and 5, in addition to the Meiser Rishon, there's a Meiser Sheni tithe. 10% of one's produce is separated, and the owner takes it to Jerusalem and eats it there, or he can redeem it and buy food in Yerushalayim. The third and sixth of those years are, instead of Meiser Sheni, Meiser Oni accompanies the Meiser Rishon. An Oni is a poor man. A tenth of one's produce is distributed amongst the impoverished. The Gemara asks, from where do we know that on the third year there is only Meiser Oni, Meiser Oni replaces the Meiser Sheni? On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei, a topic heading, Hoychocha deBishana Shlishis Noheges Meiser Oni Bimkoim Meiser Sheni. We're going to try to show, to prove that on the third year, Meiser Oni is that which is tithed instead of the Meiser Sheni. Vizu benigud leMeiser Rishon shu leLevi shenoig b'chol sheish hashon. This is in contrast to the Meiser Rishon tithe, which is given to the Levi and is binding all 6 years, as we mentioned before. So the Gemara asks Menohani Mili, from where do we know that in the third year there is no Meiser Sheni? Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he quotes a pasuk, Ki sechale la'aser es kol ma'asar tevoscha bashana hashlishis shnas hama'aser. The pasuk goes on to say, V'nosato la'levi la'ger la'yosem la'mono v'ochlu b'sharecho v'soveyu. The reference in this pasuk to the ger, the convert, the yosom, the orphan, the almona, the widow, this is a reference to people that are generally speaking poor. So we can say that's a reference to Meiser Oni. So that the pasuk we just read mentions Meiser Oni, and we're talking about the third year. It says Shnas HaMeiser, the year of Meiser, the year of Meiser Oni. Now the word Meiser is also in the singular. Shana she'ein bo elo Meiser echad. This third year is a year in which there is only one of the two, only one of the two Meiseros that was noheg the year before. Let's say that again. The third year is described as a year in which only one of the two Maisers of the previous year continue. So in the previous year, the second year, which two Maisers were there? There was Maiser Rishon and Maiser Sheni. In the third year, you're not going to have Maiser Rishon and Maiser Sheni. You're going to have just Maiser Rishon. And in addition to that, this new Maiser, the Maiser Oni. But the expression in the Gemara says, Shona She'en Bo Ela Maiser Echad, means the third year is a year in which you'll have only one of the two Maisers of the previous year. Ha Ketzad, and how does this work out? Maiser Rishon U Maiser Oni. In the third year, you'll have Maiser Rishon, which was one of the two Maisers of the previous year, and Maiser Oni, instead of the Maiser Sheni. U Maiser Sheni Botel, and the Maiser Sheni is cancelled, or is stopped during that third year. Oy, eino, elo, af, Maiser Rishonami, Botel. Or maybe, when the Pasuk says Shnas HaMaiser, it means that in the third year there is only one Maiser altogether. Not like we explained before, only one of the two Maisers of the previous year that's going to be linked together with a new Maiser, but rather, the third year, there's only one Maiser altogether, and that would be the Maiser Oni, and even Maiser Rishon is not going to be practiced. Well, that's not true. Talmud Lomar, therefore the Torah tells us, the El HaLevim Tadaber, and the Levim were the group of people that received the Maiser Rishon tithe, and the Pasuk says, you shall tell the Levim, V'amarta Lehem, and say, Ki sikhum eis b'nei Yisrael es ha-maiser asher nosati lochem me'itom b'nachal aschem. In this pasuk, we see the Levim are going to be receiving the Maiser that is described as nachal aschem. Nachal aschem means an inheritance. Hekishu ha-kasuv l'nachla. The Torah compares Maiser Rishon to inheritance. Ma nachlo ein lo hefsik, just like inheritance doesn't have any pauses, it's something that's ongoing. Af Maiser Rishon ein lo hefsik. So too, the Maiser Rishon doesn't have any pauses, it continues each one of the 6 years where agriculture is practiced. Tanyo nami hochi. Now we have a brisa that spells this out, that says that. Namely, that Maiser Rishon is practiced each one of the years. In this source, we're going to see two opinions expressing that point. In other words, we'll see Rabbi Huda, who cites a pasuk for this point, and then we'll see Rabbi Lezer ben Yankov, who cites the pasuk we just cited in the Gemara. So there's another opinion as to what the source for this idea is, as will become evident now. Tanya nami hochi ki sechale la'aser v'chulei, and that v'chulei simply is we're quoting the pasuk that was from Devarim. That's Devarim chof vav pasuk yud beis, the pasuk we read above. And at the end of the pasuk, it said shnas ha'maser shana she'ein bo ela maiser Echad. The Shnas HaMaaser expression indicates a year in which there is only one Maiser of the previous years. Okay, so how is that? Maiser Rishon or Maiser Oni? Maiser Rishon continues. That's one of the two Maisers of the previous year. And Maiser Oni in the third year. O Maiser Sheni Ibotel. But the Maiser Sheni will not be operative, will not be practiced in the third year. Yochol af Maiser Rishon nami botel? Should you say Maiser Rishon also is cancelled in the third year? Talmud Lomar uvo halevi. That is a pasuk regarding the Levi, and we darshan it as kol zman sheba, whenever he comes, tain lo. Divrei Rabbi Huda. So whenever he comes, he'll come. That means he can come all the time, each one of the 6 years. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yankov Omer, Eino Tzorech. You don't need that pasuk. Harehu Omer v'el halavim tadaber v'yomarto alehem ki sikhu me'ez bnei Yisrael es hamaser asher nosati lochem me'itom benachalaschem. Again, we have the levim being addressed and their receiving of the meiser as a nachala. Hikishu akosuv lenachala. The meiser rishon is compared to an inheritance. Ma nachla ein lo hefsik. Just like inheritance is something that's ongoing, af meiser rishon ein lo hefsik. So too, meiser rishon has no pauses. It's ongoing. Each year of the 6 years, the Levi receives his meiser rishon tithe. Now we cite the third point from the Brisa back on Omid Aleph, with which we opened up today's shir, Linadorim, that the first of Tishrei is considered a new year with regard to vows. On the side, under our Nosei, our topic heading, we have written, Aleph Tishrei Nechshav Rosh Hashanah Linadorim, it's considered the new year regarding vows. Ukegoin, for example, Misha Nodar Leser Mashehu Lishonazu. Imagine someone vowed to forbid something for this year. Ho Isur Yehei Ad Aleph Tishrei. The prohibition that he imposed will last until the first of Tishrei. The Gemara, Tonu Rabbanan, Hamudar Hano Mechaveroi Lishana, someone who vows not to benefit his friend, he withholds benefit from his friend Lishana for a year. Moina Shneim Osor Chodesh Miyom Liyom. He counts 12 months from the day he spoke. On that date, 1 year later, the vow will be binding. Ve'im omar, if he said Lishona Zu, if he used that expression, I'm withholding benefit from you for this year, as opposed to saying a year, he says this year. Afilu lo omar elo be'esrim v'tisha be'elul, even if he spoke, he stood up and spoke on the 29th of Elul, the last day of the year. Kevan shigia yoim echod b'tishrei, by the time tomorrow, the next day arrives, the first of Tishrei, also loy shana, the year has been completed. The Gemara now comments, afilu lemando mar yoim echod b'shana eino chashiv shana. There was a controversy that we learned in recent Dapim. How does one view 1 day of a year? Can one day constitute a year or not? So there was an opinion that says the minimum amount of time for a unit of time to be considered a year is 30 days. So there is an opinion that says that 1 day cannot be considered a year. We're not going to rehash review the entire sugis that dealt with that, that's back on Daf Yud, but the concept should be clear that 1 day could be considered or a year. There is an opinion that says no. Even according to that opinion, with regard to the vow taker who vowed to withhold benefit from his friend for this year, Litsuure Nafshi Kobil Olei, Vaho Itstairle. The vow taker, he had a goal. He wanted to cause pain, frustration, discomfort to his friend. That was his goal. So then when he vowed to withhold pleasure, withhold benefit from him, his goal was to cause pain. And with the pain being experienced for 1 day, so his goal was accomplished. So even though in regard to other areas of halacha, 1 day would not be considered a year, in this case, if he vowed to withhold benefit from him, Lishon Azu, even that opinion will accept the Aleph Tishrei as being the end of the vow, even though it lasted 1 day. V'yemor Nisan, why not say that the beginning of Nisan is the end of this year for a vow taker? The Gemara answers with a well-known principle, B'nedorim haloch achar loshon b'nei adam. When it comes to vows, we interpret or establish the meaning of one's vow in accordance with the way people speak. So when people speak about a year or a new year, someone says, Happy New Year. They are referring to Rosh Hashanah that we celebrate with the shofar at Aleph Tishrei. So the term year in common speech, a new year, this year, all that centers around Aleph Tishrei. That's the way people speak. So that even though with regard to the listing of months, the first month of the year in a formal month listing is Nisan, but when it comes to common speech, people say the new year, and they're referring to Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a new trend of thought, a new topic, and on the side, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. We indicate that this lasts quite a long time. It lasts till Yud Gimel Amud Beis. You will notice that we have a bow tie shape with Roman numerals 1 and 2. We will be asking Minolon the kvius shona legabi hafroshes trumas and meisers shel tvu v'zesim. From where do we know that the establishment of the year regarding the tithes of the truman meiser tithes of grains and olives tolui b'avuah shlish depends on their developing one third. In other words, if you can establish that these items, the Tvua and the Zaysim, developed a third before Rosh Hashanah, so then they, the type of tithe, we just got finished discussing the first, second, fourth, and fifth years as being Meiser Sheni years versus the third and sixth year being Meiser Ani years. The type of tithe is determined, and also the issue of Chodosh and Yoshan, the old ones and the new ones, as we mentioned this before, one cannot tithe from one year on the next. It all depends on at what point did the grains or olives develop a third of their development. So that if their third development took place before Rosh Hashanah, so it will have the laws of that particular year. If they didn't develop a third prior to Rosh Hashanah, but only after Rosh Hashanah, so then the laws regarding their tithes will be applicable in accordance with that year, the year that sets in after Rosh Hashanah. So that with regard to these plants, the Tvu and Zesim, the determining point is a third development. When did the third development, the third of their growth, take place? Here, we're not placing an emphasis on the date. The date is given. The date, we'll say, is Aleph Tishrei. But the issue here is, at Aleph Tishrei, did they develop a third or not? So our Gemara is going to be focusing on sources for third development with regard to Tevu and Zesim as being the determining factor. It's advisable just to take a bird's eye view of the sugya before we get into the Gemara itself. We have, as we mentioned, a Roman numeral number 1 at this point in at the opening, more or less at the opening point of the Gemara, just a couple lines down. You see a bow tie, and that will be the first approach in establishing that a third is the standard by which we establish Trumas and Maestras when it comes to Tvu and Zesim. The second bow tie appears quite a while later, and it's going to be Mirtz Hashem in our next shiur, in the confines of a Daf Yomi shiur, we won't be able to reach number 2. That's found at the second to last line of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So even though we are operating under the constrictions of the Daf Yomi format, it's extremely important not to lose sight of the general sugya structure. So now let's begin the Gemara. Tanan Hasam. We have a Tanaic source from Maseches Maisris. Atilson Mishetitzmach. Tilson is a type of vegetation, and its determining level of growth is at the point that it sprouts forth. The year in which it sprouts forth is going to be the year of its Maisris, and not like other vegetables that are determined by the time that they are cut or harvested. Hatvua v'hazesim mishiyaviu shlish, the year in which they, tavua, grains, zesim, olives, develop a third, the year in which they develop a third will be their year of hafroshes, of their maisris. As we said earlier, if they developed a third before Rosh Hashanah, so it'll have that year's trumas and maisris requirements. If it developed a third after Rosh Hashanah, so then it'll have that year's maisris requirements. My mishetitzmach, when referring to the tilson, that its year is determined from the point at which it's titzmach, what do you mean by that? Answer, Misha titzmach lizroyim. It means that the tilson plant has its seeds developing within it. At the point that the tilson seeds develop within the plant, that is the point at which its maisris is established. Hatvua v'hazesim mishiyaviu shlish minolon, where mino hani mili, from where do we know that the tvua, the grains and zesim olives, at the point they develop a third, that is the year in which their maisers are established. Mino hani mili, from where do we know that? Omar Rav Asi, take note of the fact that this is a long answer. Omar Rav Asi, Omar Rav Yochanan. Rav Asi quotes Rav Yochanan, Motuva Mishmei de Rav Yossi Aglili. Some say he quotes Rav Yossi Aglili. Omar Kro. The Pasuk says, Miketz Sheva Shonim Bamoed Shnas Hashmita Bechag Hasukos. Pasuk says that after 7 years, after the Shemitah, on the holiday, let's read that again. After 7 years, Bamoed, and on the holiday of the Shemitah year on Sukkot. Now, Sukkot, everyone knows, comes out in the month of Tishrei. Shnas HaShemitah, my avidite b'chag HaSukkos. Shmin is he. Describing the passage of 7 years and the holiday of Sukkot as occurring on Shemitah, that doesn't make sense. The seventh year is the Shemitah year. Sukkot comes out after that. It comes out in Tishrei, which is the month after the end of the Shemitah year. So what does the Pasuk mean when it says Chag HaSukkos of the Shemitah year, when you're describing something happening after 7 years? If anything, as the Gemara says, Shmin is he, it's the eighth year. The Gemara answers, Ella Lomar Loch, this Pasuk, with its, we'll say, its superficial oddity, is telling me the din that we were looking for. It's telling me, Kol Tvua, Shevia Shlish B'Shvias, Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, any grains that developed a third during the Shemitah year, talk about the end of the Shemitah year, but it reached a third development before Rosh Hashanah, ushering in the eighth year, Ata Noyheg Boy Minhog Shvias B'Shminis, you will treat those grains as having the sanctity of seventh year produce, seventh year grains, and there are naturally halachas that apply to seventh year produce as opposed to produce of other years. At this point, we're starting a marking that is going to last a very long time. It's going to last till Yud Gimel Amud Beis. On the side, under the Mivneh heading, we indicate this trapezoid or volcano shape is a ma'akav, a means of keeping track of a give and take. The narrow part facing upwards represents kushos, their questions. The inverted volcano, tshuvos, responses. Omar le Rabbi Zeir le Rav Asi. Rav Asi, it's important to note, he was the speaker till this point, and he cited this posuk of Miketz Sheva Shonim as the source for a third development. That which developed a third before Rosh Hashanah in a Shemitah year will have the, even though it's harvested in the eighth year, it has the dinim of the seventh year, because a third development determines its identity. Omar Le Rabbi Zeir of Asi. So Rabbi Zeir asks, we continue at the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. V'dilma lo ayil klal v'koma rachmona tishamet v'tezel ad chag hasukos. Maybe what the pasuk is saying is something else altogether. Very simply, that even if the grains didn't develop at all in the seventh year, what the Torah is saying is that the mitzvos of Shemitah continue until Sukkos, meaning that you continue the restriction of plowing, of harvesting your fields into the eighth year, another 2 weeks until Sukkos. This is a concept of we've seen this idea of extension of holy times, Shemitah being considered a holy year. So maybe what the Pasuk is saying is that you must continue your agricultural restrictions until Sukkos. Rav Asi responds, Loi salka daitoch. No, you can't think that. Dechtiv, there's a Pasuk in Shmois Perchov Gimel Pasuk Tezayin. It says, V'chag ha'asif betzeis hashona. Now the Pasuk goes on to say, in that Pasuk we have on the side of the Gemara, the continuation, V'chag ha'asif betzeis hashona ba'ospecha min es ma'asecha min hasodeh. My Osif. What does this Pasuk mean? It says the holiday of Osif, at the end of the year, at the departure of the year. My Osif, Ilemo Chag Habo Bizman Asifa. If the Pasuk means the holiday that comes around at the time of the ingathering of grains, and that's a name, that this is a name for the holiday of Sukkos, and that since Sukkos comes about at the time that people gather in their grain, so it gets this name. The Gemara says, Hoksiv, if you're trying to identify the holiday of Sukkos by calling it Ho'asif, I don't need that. Hoksiv, in the same pasuk, it says, Be'ospecha. It's a holiday at the time that you are gathering in. So I don't need the word Osif to identify this as the holiday of Sukkos, because it comes out of the time of gathering in grains. That's already referred to by the word Ba'aspecha. Elomai Osif. So what does the word Osif mean? Kotsir. It has to do with harvesting. V'kim luhu l'rabbonon. And the Rabbonon know. They have a rabbinic tradition, if you will. They know the chol tvua sheniktzura b'chag, all grains that are harvested, that you are able to harvest. Those they're significant. They've significantly grown. You can harvest them. B'chag, any grains that you could harvest on Sukkos, biyodua shehevio shlish lifnei Rosh Hashanah. It should let it be known It is known that they reached a third of their development before Rosh Hashanah. The Kokori law, and the Pasuk says, Betseis Hashanah. In the Pasuk we just read, you see the term Betseis Hashanah, which means that those grains have the identity of the year that just passed. And if the year that just passed happened to be Shemitah year, so the grains that you're harvesting on Sukkot, being that they developed a third before Rosh Hashanah, they will have the dinim of seventh year produce. And that naturally applies to transition points between second and third year. So it would have the dinim of a second year, and it require Meiser Sheni tithe, as opposed to Meiser Oni tithe. So up to this point in the Gemara, and we're unfortunately pausing in the middle of a magnificent discussion of this, the interplay of names that will unfold in this Gemara is actually dramatic. The give and take and who the various speakers are and how they speak to one another, you'll see how it unfolds, but unfortunately we have the constriction posed by the Daf Yomi that we've already spilled over a couple of lines. Up till this point, though, we have what appears to be a source, a combination of the posuk of Chag HaOsif, and it says Betzeis Hashanah, and this idea of Kim Lehu LeRabbona. The Rabbona know that which you would be harvesting at Sukkot time had developed a third prior to Rosh Hashanah. So, having reached a third, it gains its identity as being the previous year's produce. Even though we textually are not going to go on, it is of importance for me to at least show you how the rest of the sugya unfolds before closing. So at this point, Rav Asi gave Rabbi Zeira an answer. So Rabbi Zeira absorbed the answer of Kim Lehu LeRabbona, that which we dashed underlined 5 lines from the Rabbona know this point. So you'll notice textually there's a bracketed section. It's quite a long bracketed section. The reason for this is that right after the brackets, you see Maskif Lo Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina is an attack. It's a question. You can see, of course, we have our volcano shape with the narrow facing upwards. He is asking directly on Rav Asi, who gave the answer of Chag HaOsif B'Tzeis Hashanah. So if you skip down, you'll see Maskif Lo Rabbi Chanina Umi Motzis Amrstai Osif Kotzirhu. Can you really say what you said, what Rav Asi said, that the word Osif doesn't mean Osif? It's not a name for Sukkot, but it refers to Kotzir, refers to harvesting. And he goes on and asks his question on Rav Asi. So structurally, Rav Asi had given an answer before the brackets, and then the give and take continues, where Rabbi Chanina questions Rav Asi. And then, if you follow the markings, you see that leads us into Roman numeral number 2. So this will, Rav Chanina's question is a serious question. And interestingly, 4 lines from the bottom, Rabbi Zeira, who had accepted Rav Asi's answer above, upon hearing Rabbi Chanina's question, Rabbi Zeira is upset. And he says, well, we thought we had a source for the third development as being the determining factor with grains, and Rabbi Chanina comes along and puts in and throws an axe into the answer. So then, if Rabbi Chanina axes Rav Asi's answer, what are we going to do? What's the source going to be for a third development as being the determining factor of what year the grains are associated with? That leads us to a Roman numeral, to a second bow tie, which is featured second line from the bottom, where a Brisa quoting Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef, he gives a source for shlish, for third development, and that will take us to the top of Yud Gimel Amid Beis, where there's a Rav Yonason gives us his a pasuk for this. The Gemara will try to ask about it, but it will finally answer, falling back on this source of was featured in the on the bottom line of Yud Gimel Amid Aleph. He also says it's Vuod Shalosh Shanim. So that will be the source for a third development by grains. Within the bracketed section, though, there's quite an interesting discussion where Rabbi Yirmiyah appears to ask on the concept of the Kim Luhu L'Rabbonan, that the rabbis, they just know, they happen to know. Rabbi Yirmiyah will challenge that in the bracketed section, and then you'll see Rabbi Yirmiyah himself turn around and accept that position, that you have to say Kim Luhu L'Rabbonan. And as we said, that's all contained within the bracketed section. The Gemara, as we said, is a one long sugya, having started from the bottom of the previous Amid, continuing to Yud Gimel Amid Beis. Our hope is that even though we're stopping in the middle, our introduction here will help to carry over till the next shiur. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.